evening, everybody.
Definitely good to see so many out this afternoon, this evening. Won't try to keep you long today. Just to prepare our minds for what I'm going to be talking about tonight. You ever just took for granted that you knew what something meant in Scripture? I don't know about you, but I was telling Chad before, and we sing it a lot. Matter of fact, I don't know whether it's us being on the same wavelength. Jerry sang a song that we were talking about just before service. Oh, Fountain of every blessing. I'm going to read for you again verse number 2. Very familiar with it, where it says, here I raise my Ebenezer. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just speaking for myself. I thought that was just raising a good son. It's not what it is. Anybody know what it is? It's a stone. Thank you. I learned something because I didn't have a clue. I just thought it would be a good idea to just raise folks that kind of way. But turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 7. Y'all can learn something too. Y'all should have told me that already. Had me singing stuff I ain't know the meaning of. But that's why we're ever learning. I just never thought about it. And I was looking at, matter of fact, I was looking at one of these sheets, and I said, you know what? I don't know what Ebenezer really means. Maybe you heard a lesson on it, but if so, just bear with me so I can learn some more about it as I pull some stuff together on it because it was just interesting to me. Turn me to 1 Samuel chapter 7. You know, and Ebenezer is another name we hear around this time of year too, isn't it? Ebenezer Scrooge. The only time I knew two guys that I grew up with named Ebenezer, and there was always around this time Ebenezer Scrooge, and then this. That's only 4 times I've heard of Ebenezer. When they said raise Ebenezer, I thought it was just raising a godly child. Let's see what Scripture tells us about it. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. And it reads as such. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines were in up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to the battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines to discomfit them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came to Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hither hath the Lord helped us. Ebenezer means stone or rock of hope. To give you more background what's going on here, this is the time of the end of Judges. Israel had gone back, as they did throughout the book of Judges, they had gone back into idolatry again. God raises up Samuel. Samuel's of age here, so he goes and tells the nation of Israel at this point in time to repent, and they repent and turn away. But then there's the enemy of the Philistines who were a constant thorn in the side of them. So as they're doing and repenting, they're being chased and surrounded by a great army of Philistines. So on the surface, it kind of looks hopeless. Israel had pursued them after God came in and basically with the sound of thunder and put them on the run. Israel pursued them to a place between Mizpah and Shin. There Samuel erected a stone and called it Ebenezer. Ebenezer again means stone of hope or stone of help. Now when I was thinking about this, you said, you know, when I'm not quite wrong, I raised up a lot of Ebenezers in my life. And I'm pretty sure you have too, looking back over your life. You got a lot of Ebenezers in your life, I'm pretty sure, if you understand what Ebenezer means. There are times in our life when we just have to state and let God know we need his help. There are times in our life when it seems like problems surround us that we need to set up an Ebenezer or raise an Ebenezer. There are times, sometimes we get bad news from doctors, we need to raise an Ebenezer. There are times in marriages and families we go through difficult times. Those are times we need to stop and raise an Ebenezer. Let's talk about the definition of help here. Very simple definition. These some that I ran across in preparing for the lesson. Not mine, but you can find it in Webster's Dictionary. To give assistance to aid, to contribute to the furtherance of or promote, to give relief or help to the needy, to ease, relieve, as in medicate in certain situations, to change for the better, improve, to refrain or avoid or resist, to wait on. These are definitions that are in the American Heritage Dictionary online. So there are some times in life when it would behoove us. I always like to say I can use it in a sentence, but if they ask me to spell it, it's not going to be spelled correctly. To raise up Ebenezer. Times when it seems like there's no hope, a little hope. We serve an awesome God. And we see time and time again, if you look back over your life, that God has brought us through a mighty life, mighty long way. He's brought us through some trials and tribulations. I don't know about you, but it sometimes humbles me and still brings me to tears about all those situations I thought I wasn't going to make it out of. And somehow God made a way. Tears of joy, tears of love, because when I thought that wasn't going to be a way, God made a way. When it seems the darkest, and it seemed the darkest in my life, I raised up a stone, didn't know what I was doing, but I bowed myself, as we should do, in prayer and sacrifice, and God showed up. That's something that should be a constant in a Christian's life. Because guess what? We're going to have problems on this side of the living. Nobody's promised not to have issues. One of the things I understand, it seems like the older I get, seems like you know as well, a lot of you are a lot older now, the more funerals you go to, the more bad news you get. There's always something that we can focus on that really should take, has the opportunity to take our joy and peace away. But when you start to lose your joy and peace, you need to set up and raise an Ebenezer. When life starts to get you down, like it does, and I don't know about you, sometimes it just seems like stress is kind of creeping unaware. And before you know it, I'm like, just like that. Just stressed out, don't know why, can't get rest. Times like that, I need to pause and raise an Ebenezer. Times like trying times in our land today. You think about the country we're living in, and we are all citizens of this wonderful country, but it ain't looking good for the home team. What do? Christians, the first thing they should do is raise up an Ebenezer. We need that. The world needs to see that our help comes from above. Our world needs to see us acting differently when we see bad things in the news and things like that. Our world needs to see that we serve a God. The world doesn't have that. They don't have that relationship we have. But we've seen, and God has proven to us time and time again, that when we raise up Ebenezer, he's always there to help. And we raise up Ebenezer for two reasons. One, to show we depend on God. Two, to show God is always going to come through for us. These are two reminders that we do when we raise up stones of help in our life. We're able to look back, as I said before. You know, if God helped you yesterday, he's surely going to help you today. If he helped you yesterday and today, why in the world are we sitting around worrying needlessly about tomorrow? We got so many Ebenezers in our past to let us know that God's going to help us. This is exactly what was done here. Now, when you think about it, it makes no logical sense for somebody being surrounded by enemies to, first of all, stop sacrificing lamb and then raise up a stone. And Ebenezer. The world doesn't understand that, but we do. Sometimes when it seems like there's no logical sense in how we handle our problems, we know we handle them on our knees in prayer and sacrifice. Worship is a form of raising an Ebenezer. They ought to be just littered in our spiritual lives. The world should be able to look at us and see, well, what is this? That we ought to be able to go back and just let them know time and time again, where these things come from, to serve as a guidepost to those who are seeking the God that we serve. You know, God does things and allows things to happen to us, sometimes for no other reason, so that we can give other folks encouragement when they come to the same trial. You know, sometimes when you can't put a finger on, when you ask the why me question, sometimes the answer is by and by, so that you can let somebody know how you made it through. That's raising up an Ebenezer. David was constantly raising up Ebenezer. We're doing a very detailed study of David in our young adult class, and the more we try to get through it, the more we get deeper into it. I'm not saying we're rushing through it, but sometimes it seems like I'm getting ready to wrap it up, and then we jump into something else with David and his life with God. Here's somebody who, again, was a man of God's own heart. But when you read the book of Psalms, that book is filled with Ebenezer. I'm just going to give you a few, and the lesson will be yours. Psalms chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Help, Jehovah, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful man fell from among the children of men." David here felt himself surrounded. He felt his own courage and faith failing, but then he always turned and said, "But you, O God, are my strength, my shield, my buckler." That's setting up in Ebenezer for us to look to today. Psalm 20 and 2 says, "Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion, O God." Another situation where David needed strength and comfort. Where does he go to? He didn't go to the local guru of the day. He didn't go to a self-help book. He went to God and set up and raised in Ebenezer. Psalm 27 and 9 says this, "Hide not thy face from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, cast me not off, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." David faced trouble from all sides. In studying David, Saul sought his life mercilessly and relentlessly. And what did he do to him except try to serve him? Then because of David's own doing, he had trouble in his whole household, his whole life. God told him that based on the incident with Bathsheba. But David didn't curry. He didn't run. He didn't fret. He just continued to raise up Ebenezer. You know, life sometimes, when life has you down, or sometimes it doesn't seem like life is fair, instead of complaining about it, just stop and raise up in Ebenezer. Psalms 33 and 20. "Our soul have waited for Jehovah. He is our help and our shield." Sometimes, the answer is just wait on the Lord. That's raising up in Ebenezer. One of the reasons why God seeks to give us or produce the fruit of patience and endurance in us, so we'll learn to wait on it. He didn't always give us and show up when we think we need him to, and it's not that he can't, but that's a lesson for us to get out. It's not that he won't, but he needs to also prepare us for the race that we're about to run in this thing called life. Endurance. Psalms 40 and 17 says this, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." We can go on and on and on and on. A few more that I want to cover is Psalms 46 and 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of need." Psalm 63 and 7, "For thou hast been my help, and in the shadow of the wings of thy wings will I rejoice." David set up a whole bunch of, or raised a whole bunch of Ebenezers for us to find in God's holy and divine word. So what are some other ways that we raise up Ebenezers and God shows that he's going to take care of us? God promises to provide everything we need daily. Matthew 6, in the model prayers we sometimes are given credit for, you know, one of the things I've learned to do to slow myself down is this. Give me this day my daily bread. I don't know about you, but that has a way of just slowing me down and putting me back in the moment, as opposed to just worrying and stressing about other things that I cannot control, mistakes that I made yesterday. I don't worry too much about tomorrow, but sometimes I look back and say, "Well, you know, I should have done that different. Maybe I should have had that situation different. Maybe I didn't approach it and do the right thing or say the right thing in that moment." But then I'm reminded of these. Just give me this day my daily bread. Learning to live one day at a time. God promises to protect us wherever we go. There's no need to constantly look over our shoulder and wonder and worry about what man will do to us. We spend way too much time doing that. God says, don't do it. If he's our helper, according to Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, if he's our helper, why in the world are we worried about what enemies are doing? Matter of fact, we see it. Isaiah 54, 17, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." Now, the problem is, many of us are looking at the weapons they're forming And forgetting the fact that it ain't going to prosper anyway. We're looking at how big the gun is, how big the arrow is. We're worried about how far it can reach us and how it can penetrate and hurt us. That's not what God asks us to focus on. He says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Doesn't mean it's not going to be formed. Take your eyes off people forming stuff against you and understand that God is your buckler and your shield. All good gifts come from God. How do we learn to do that? We set up and raise Ebenezer's every day with a mindset of humility and thanksgiving. Thank God always. The Bible tells us, thank him always, right? How often do we really do that? Now we struggle. Let's just be honest with you. We all struggle in some areas in my life. Y'all know me. I'm just going to use the same example. I don't know how I do it sometimes, but even I say, thank you, God, for slow people driving in front of me. Thank you. There we go, Susan. We there. It helps me. They help me slay. I'm maybe slowing but driving by somebody who's driving maybe 10 miles below the speed limit. Maybe God is keeping me from an accident. I don't know. Maybe he's doing some things and preventing something on down the road, so it works about 8 out of 10 times. I'm just being honest. I get that. But I'm getting that, though. I'm working on 9 to 10. But think about all those things when he protects us. We don't even really understand why. Sometimes the detours that we have to go through in life, they're not detours per se to make us and cause us to go a different direction. Sometimes it's just God's guidance. Praying and understanding that God is the author of our salvation. Luke 22:19-20. We see this all the time. We read it sometimes. We hear it sometimes when we are participating in the Lord's Supper. And it reads, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And in like manner, after supper, this cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, even that which is poured out for you. Now, when we hear these things read, or even we read them ourselves silently as we took the Lord's Supper, what does it really mean to you? Now, I know we should memorialize what Christ has done, but do you realize that that is also evidence that he's our protector, our buckler, and our shield? That's more than enough reason that every time we participate of him, at that point in time we should participate to raise up an Ebenezer. Because he died for us. He died so that we can have life in this life, abundantly in this life, in the world to come. Always, always remember where your help comes from. Now, I know he works through providential means, through people, places, circumstances, and things, but you got to be able to look at things with a spiritual eye. When you're able to see things from a spiritual perspective, you see God's help all around you. You see God intervening and being involved in the daily affairs of men all around you. I try to do that. And I try to do it in the simplest form. I do it sometimes when I'm dealing with young folks. And sometimes when you're dealing with folks like that, or maybe in different age genres, as they say, you know, I grew up in a situation, and maybe of us did, that sometimes we felt that they couldn't teach us, and they could teach us a lot of stuff if we just learn the lesson. We can learn lessons from any and everybody. Sometimes they teach you that really ain't that serious. That's what it does for me. Sometimes it helps me slow down, and sometimes it helps me learn that if God is patient with me, I need to be patient with others as well. Because I, at one point in time, was a child, or an adolescent, or whatever, or a young adult, and God was patient with me. How dare I not be patient with other folks? So in closing, let's get busy raising up Ebenezer in our life. Maybe you knew this lesson before, but honestly, I didn't really know what it was until I looked at it. Sang it. We sing it a lot in the nursing home because it's part of our song sheet that we give. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'm trying to do a good job of raising folks God and they were responsible for, but they went a little deeper than that. Until I looked there today and found out that actually it was a stone of help that Samuel raised up, that humbled me, but also made me realize that God is an ever-present help in a time of need. Sometimes we just need to understand that as we go through life, and life never said, God never said again, as I said before, there wouldn't be problems and issues that we had to deal with. But oh my goodness, let us learn some lessons from Samuel. Samuel was young at this point in time. He was probably between 30 and 40 years old. But he was still doing what God had asked him to do. they still depend on him as a leader. One of the things that we're going to have to do as well as we grow and to the point where we do have elders is they're going to have to raise up a whole lot of Ebenezers for the sake of the congregation here. There are times when, not times, that's something that should be constantly part of their lives, being on the knees, praying for the welfare of the church, praying for guidance and the roles that they have decided to take on. That's going to be a whole lot of Ebenezers raised up. Members of the congregation need to raise up Ebenezers as they support them, and allow them to grow into those roles. The Ebenezers are needed all through our life. You need them every day of your normal life. You, Lord have mercy, sometimes you need them to work to raise up some Ebenezers if you're still working. Sometimes you need to raise them up in dealing with family and friends. Raise them up. Because God is always there to help us in whatever situation we're dealing with. So learn to raise up more Ebenezers. I'm going to do more since I know really what it means now. I've done it. Maybe I just need to go back and rename them Ebenezers because that's what it should have been called in the first place. What must we do to be saved? We must hear the gospel. Believe what we have heard. Repent of my sins. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of our sins. And then we really begin to see God for who he is. It starts us over. We see God in a whole new light. It's almost like, as I like to say, well, it's not almost, the light actually comes on and you can see him and begin to see who he is. There are folks who know of God, but that's not what he wants. He wants us to know him. There's a difference between knowing of somebody. Many of us went to high school or college with people that we thought we knew. We ain't know them. Just because they sat beside us in class, we didn't know them. We didn't know what their life was like outside of class. So really, they should be put in that category that we know of them. But to know Jesus is a whole different mindset. But on him, who he really is, and begin to seek his face, can only benefit us and cause us to grow even stronger. And from time to time, we forget, to be honest with you. From time to time, life wins. From time to time, Satan does a number on us. But when we see that and feel that, there's no better time to raise up the Ebenezer of repentance as we go through life to let us know that that's the time when I knew I was doing wrong and I went from doing wrong and turn my life around and begin to walk in the righteousness that God would have me to do. So if you have one desire or other, put on Christ in baptism or request special prayer, we ask you to please come forward to sing a verse or two of 561.